Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Jermaine Gale, pastor of the East Lansing University and Lansing Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Jermaine.
Happy Sabbath. Are you happy indeed? Kind of heard it scattered all throughout the sanctuary. It was like some of you weren't really sure. Pastor, probably not. Are you happy?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be able to worship with you on Sabbath. We are one big family, aren't we? And we've been talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and this is part two to that sermon series. We're going through the book of Revelation and tackling some of those important aspects of the book. And before I begin with part two, let's pray together. Loving Father in heaven, we ask for your wisdom. We pray, dear God, that your name be honored, glorified, lifted up, clearly seen. We give ourselves to you now, asking, dear God, that you teach us, that your Holy Spirit comes to our side and guide us through Scripture, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm tempted to sing a song. It's kind of unusual for me, because I don't like singing and preaching, but I'm just going to give you one line. The reason being is this week has been a particularly difficult week, and the song that has been resting on my mind is His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Amen.
Now that you have the words in your mind, I'm not going to sing it. All right, I'll do one line. Is it, why should or why do I feel? Which one is it? Why should? Yeah, see, you know the song. Why did you sing? All right. Why should I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why does my heart feel lonely? Is that it? And long for heaven and home. When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. You can finish it later. I love music, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, it just lifts your spirit. When I was in school, I remember just walking and just singing these songs to myself, alone in the woods, just talking to God in song. It does something to your heart. I want to talk to you about a composer, George Friedrich Handel. You've heard him before. One of the most popular series he ever composed was called Handel's Messiah. Have you ever been to a Handel's Messiah concert? Oh, I tell you, if you want to lift your spirits, go to one of those things and make sure that the singers are really good. Because, wow! Especially when they get to the hallelujah chorus. It makes you want to stand up and just like, yes, in the presence of God, I want to be there to sing that song when He returns. George loved music ever since he was a child. In fact, one night his parents were laying down about to fall asleep when they heard one of those small pianos, I think it was, being played. They're wondering, and they couldn't find their son. And they finally found him after they searched the entire house up in the attic playing because he was trying not to disturb them. He just really loved music. But he wasn't very successful throughout his career until about this time. A friend of his by the name of Charles Jennens had compiled a series of scriptures and sent them over to Handel and saying, you should write a series of songs on these scriptures focused on the life of Christ, the Messiah. And he sat down for 24 days and wrote Handel's Messiah. He didn't eat, hardly slept, and he was just overwhelmed, overcome by what God was calling him to do. And this experience of writing this series of songs changed his life forever. I love those songs. One of my favorite is Comfort Ye My People. You know, like I just love the voice of the tenor or the, I think, baritone who sang The Trumpet Shall Sound. And it almost makes me go, you know, I'm tempted to sing it, but I'm not going to try. So he said this. After he stumbled upon our text this Sabbath, Revelation 19 and verse 6. After he read it, he came to this conclusion after writing this song, the Hallelujah Chorus. This is actually the text that inspired the Hallelujah Chorus, Revelation 19, verse 6. He wrote it based on that. And he said this, having had that experience, I did think, he said, I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself seated on his throne with his company of angels. Can you imagine a composer witnessing the presence, the very presence of God as he composes one of the most popular, most powerful choruses there is, the Hallelujah Chorus. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, you should go to a Handel's Messiah concert if you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, we should recruit for a choir right now. Where's Satara? Is Satara around? Friends, I tell you, Handel was really touched by God in a special way, and he composed this song. And when he finally performed it in Dublin, I think Dublin, Germany, when the whole series was finally performed and they got to the Hallelujah Chorus, King George II was in the audience. And when they started singing, King George couldn't help it. He stood on his feet. He just stood up. And the entire audience started George standing up, and they said, you know what? We have to stand with the king. King George realized he was in the presence of the king of the universe. This earthly king stood to his feet, and the entire audience stood up too. And to this day, we continue that tradition. Whenever the Hallelujah Chorus is being sung, if you ever wonder why people stand, it's because King George stood. And so at the end, when we get to that chorus, everyone is encouraging you, please stand as we get to the Hallelujah Chorus, because you really ought to understand that in this moment, you're in the presence of God, and you ought to be joyful on your feet, celebrating the awe, the awesomeness of God. And so when you get to those parts, and he shall reign forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah, you just can't help it. You almost want to say it. Yes, amen. Oh, Revelation 19, verse 6, the Bible tells us, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns, which is, again, a part of that song. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. If you've ever been in a crowd during a performance like Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, I'm telling you, you're going to be touched. There's an experience that comes with being in a place like that. But I remember being touched by another song. There is something about songs regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ and the honor and glory of God. It just does something to you, doesn't it? I remember the first time I was a new Seventh-day Adventist. I didn't really know a lot, but I knew that there was something special about Jesus' coming again. And I was in this audience. I was there with my brother who cannot speak. He has a hearing problem and a speech problem. And we were there together in this concert, and the singer was singing the song, The Midnight Cry. And he couldn't hear the words. He couldn't hear it. But there was someone right beside that singer who was signing the song to him. And I looked over, and my brother was crying because he was thinking about the midnight cry. and the message that it conveyed. And I remember crying myself because all I was thinking about was on that day, friends, my brother would be hearing again and speaking again. I remember that experience as if it was yesterday because I was touched by that song, that message, Jesus is coming again. And you and I ought to be excited about that thought because I'm tired of this sin-sick world that has so many problems. But I haven't even started preaching yet. He is coming again. Now, friends, I've always been enthusiastic about singing, even when I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And you know, praise God that when we get to heaven, all of our voices will be tuned. You don't have to worry about being off key, off tune, off note, and off all over the place. God will solve that problem. And this is what John sees in Revelation 19. He sees a massive choir singing honor and glory to the Lord. Can you imagine being there singing with this group? Oh, friends, he has seen a multitude all over the book of Revelation. In fact, he sees one in Revelation chapter 7. He sees one in Revelation chapter 15. And now he sees the multitude in Revelation chapter 19. And he's celebrating. John is. And yes, I've been enthusiastic about singing for a very long time. And you know my experience of what happened when I sang for the first time in church. That was daunting. It was discouraging. But we need not worry. And we need not argue about who can or who cannot sing, because that day it will all be settled. We'll all be able to sing. And don't let anyone tell you not to sing those hymns. Okay? There will be the sweet sound of victory coming from your lips in ways that will surprise you. You know, my friend, a good friend of mine, he has a struggle with singing. And he owns up to it. He always tells me. And one day we were talking and he was singing and he realized that something was going wrong in the way that he was singing. His note wasn't really right. He was flat. He was sharp. It was just going all over the place. And he said to me, you know what, Jermaine? In my mind, the song sounds perfect. For some reason, in my mind, I feel like I'm one of the greatest tenors there are. But when it comes out, that's not what I experience with those around me. But friends, he doesn't have to worry when we get to heaven. Finally, friends, we'll be able to sing. There was a guy I read about who was in a church choir and just really struggled with the guy because he just had a very hard time doing his part. He had a very hard time staying on tune. He was throwing the choir off and people were getting frustrated because he really wanted to be in the choir. Others tried to help him find other places of ministry. You know how we are. You know, like there's another place over here. You know, the shelter needs your help. Or, you know, this is the place for ministry for you. You know, you should test out your gifts. But he didn't want to hear that. He wanted to be in the choir. And so every time he would be at rehearsals and at the performances, and it just every time it was just a huge struggle. The choir director got desperate. Choir director went to the pastor and said, Pastor, you got to talk to Brother Jones. The pastor goes over and now talking to Brother Jones. Brother Jones, I just don't think choir's for you. A lot of people have been telling me that you're just not the right fit for choir. Several people, in fact, have told me that you're just not ready to sing. And Brother Jones responded to Pastor, Pastor, 50 people told me you can't preach and you're still preaching. With that said, Brother Jones stayed in the choir. Friends, don't do that. Don't do that to me, please, okay? All right. But friends, here's the truth. Again, we need not worry. Because when we get to that place, heaven, friends, our songs will be sweet. And yes, down here, all we're doing is just rehearsing. Just rehearsing. So John sees this crowd in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. I want to talk to you about three reasons why this song is sweet and three reasons why this song is being sung at the second coming. We must realize first that the redeemed who started singing this song, they were singing because they were invited to sing. They weren't singing on their own accord. Let me show this to you. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. The Bible tells us there, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a what, everyone? Great multitude in heaven saying what? Hallelujah. Where is this great multitude? Where's this great multitude? In heaven, saying hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God. So heaven starts singing. Can you imagine a day so special where heaven itself starts the song? Heaven sings hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. We always pray, let the angels join us in our worship. Friends, this is a moment where the angels have initiated worship. They sing hallelujah, salvation. If you ever wonder if it's okay to say hallelujah during one of my sermons, don't worry, because they say it in heaven. Hallelujah, the angels sing. The Bible goes on. For true, the angels continue, and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. A response to what had taken place in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10, where we see the souls under the altar crying and saying, Lord, how long until you avenge us? And finally, God meets out his justice, and the angels are now rejoicing. Finally, this great harlot has been repaid for what she has done. Now, don't be offended. I'm going to talk about some history here, because we know who the harlot is. And I'm going to show you why it's important, why the angels sing. The first hallelujah was because finally, the enemy of God's church is finally dealt with. Justice finally catches up to those who murdered the innocent in the name of religion. God finally meets out on her due portion of judgment. And when this final blow comes, the angels rejoice. Hallelujah. God is in control. And he is dealing with the matters that affect us. Revelation 19:2, as I said before, is a direct response to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. And there, the Bible tells us in Revelation 6 and verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood and those who dwell on the earth? They cried, but now the angels sing. The people of God cried, but the angels now sing. Friends, we have some experiences that we'll go through on this earth, but friends, if you and I could only see the day that the angels rejoice, you and I would finally realize that whatever our experiences are on this earth will be worth it after all. Oh, I want to be there when the angels sing. Don't you? Here are some of the things that happened throughout history, from the birth of popery to the present time. It is estimated by careful and credible historians that more than 50 million of the human family were killed, have been slaughtered for the crime of heresy by popish persecutors, on average of more than 40,000 religious murders for every year of the existence of popery. Do you see that? Goes on. From the year 1540 to 1570, it is proved by national authentic testimony that nearly 1 million of Protestants were publicly put to death in various countries in Europe, besides all those who were privately destroyed and of whom no human record exists. Another one. And this, by the way, was quite surprising for me. Did you know Abraham Lincoln talked about the Civil War and he connected that to the Roman Church? Did you know that? I want to show you this here. Rome. This is Abraham Lincoln now. Listen to his words carefully. Rome had put the deadly virus of her antisocial and anti-Christian maxims into the veins of the people before they became American citizens. So he's talking about what has happened or had happened in the South. Unfortunately, he says, the Jesuits and the nuns have in great part remained the teachers of those people since that time. Now I'm going to pause here, because this is not to say that there aren't sincere people who love God within the Catholic Church. Please understand, right? We're talking about a system. We often have to give you that caveat because I want you to understand history is really true. We're not making stuff up, okay? Now, recently, the Pope himself had actually gone on a campaign apologizing to different Protestants, and one of the places he visited was the Waldensians and apologized for what the church had done. But friends, we know how this thing is going to end. right? So again, Lincoln goes on. Unfortunately, the Jesuits and the nuns have in great part remained the teachers of these people since that time. They have continued in a silent but more efficacious way to spread their hatred against our institutions, our laws, our schools, our rights, and our liberties in such a way that this terrible conflict became, what's the next word, everyone? Unavoidable between the North and the South. As I told you before, it is to popery that we owe this terrible civil war. A lot of things has happened or had happened throughout history, friends. And we think, you know, just how, well, this just had happened. And the way we look at it, we don't really see the behind the scenes. Now, the reason why the saints are not singing during this time is because they don't see what heaven sees. And you and I cannot rejoice in this singing because only God truly knows what has happened throughout history. You understand what I'm saying? So we don't rejoice over our enemies being taken away. So heaven understands exactly what had taken place, and now the angels are celebrating. The angels are singing because finally all of this thing comes to a head. The Bible tells us again in Revelation chapter 19, if you'll go back there with me. Revelation chapter 19. Not only did they say hallelujah the first time, but once again, the angels say hallelujah. Oh, friends, this is just exciting. This is way better than Handel's Messiah. Come on, somebody. Again, verse 3, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying what?
Amen, hallelujah.
Oh, friends, you need to say that with more gusto. What did they say?
Amen, hallelujah.
Because they realized, finally, God is dealing with this problem. Finally, justice has her way. Finally, God steps in and deals with not only the issues that plagued us in the present or plagues us in the present, but the issues that have been left in the past. Okay, you see, God is not ignorant of your experiences. He's not ignorant of the experiences of the saints. Those who had died faithfully to God under one of the most intense persecutions, God has not ignored that. He keeps it in mind. And then he has the kindness and the desire even to share with you and I how this thing comes to an end. Oh, that is a privilege. That is a privilege. But notice what else happened. Then, John says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both great and small. This is the invitation. Heaven is singing. And if John hears a voice, earth, you need to respond. Oh, you're not. Are you getting what I'm saying? Heaven is singing. And heaven is now saying, earth, respond. Oh, and we tune our voices. The Bible says in verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both great and small. And we respond. How do we respond, everyone? And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great choir. Oh, a great choir, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah. Heaven says hallelujah. Earth responds, hallelujah. Oh, I want to be there. I want to join with you in saying hallelujah to him who dwells on the throne. For the Lord, they continued in song, omnipotent. What is it, everyone? Reigns. Let us be glad, the song continues, and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Friends, in order for you and I to join in singing this song, you need to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. No more talking about the second coming. You ought to be serious about it. Because one of the saddest experiences that we could ever have is to be a part of that choir and look around and not see the people we care about. When I'm saying hallelujah, I want to look for your faces. And even if you can't sing, I'm going to be listening for your voices too. So I'm like, ooh, you sound good. Oh, friends, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. She sings, the church sings, and this is a picture of the church, this great multitude, and John had said before that he couldn't number it. People of every kindred, tongue, and tribes all over the world, everyone combines. Antizo, International Sabbath, you think that's good? This is better. Amen. This is going to be one of those days, I tell you, friends. And I can't imagine what the potluck will be like after this. Oh, come on, somebody. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. She sings. First reason why she sings. She sings because the marriage has come. That's the first reason why she sings. She has been looking toward this marriage for a very long time. She's been looking for Jesus to come again for a very long time. And finally, it is happening. And she's now singing because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Well, friends, when Ellie and I were preparing for our wedding day, we had signed up for a program. It's called Wedding Wire. And through Wedding Wire, you can get a website. But there's a cool feature that is just to us. Wedding Wire provides, whenever you tune into the website, it provides a countdown to the day for a wedding. And so we would talk to each other over the phone. How many days is it? So Wedding Wire would tell us, it's now 22 days away. Oh, friends, when we got to 15 days, when we got to 10 days, when we got to 5 days, you know what I was doing? I was rehearsing a special song to share with her on that day. And it's really true. Music at a wedding is beautiful. Can you imagine a wedding without music? You know, you're just there, just like, okay, all right, here comes the bride, everybody. She walks down the aisle, nothing playing. You know, like, okay, all right, that's interesting. All right, she's seated, family, everyone's seated. All right, everyone, we will now transition to the rest of the sermon. No music at all. Oh, friends, this wedding is so special that you now are allowed the privilege of sharing in that choir. You, the redeemed, provide the music for the wedding. That's special. John says, she sings because she has made it her goal. The church has made it her goal to be ready for the wedding. Singing in heaven is not based on skill and talent, but rather based on readiness. It is based on an experience that one has with God. Because if you don't experience God now, friends, you have no ability to sing then. Singing is not because you have tuned your voices or done some good rehearsals. You can't say to God, I've been in the choir for 50 years now. I'm ready to sing. But yet still, you haven't been living up to the ideals that God has given to you. You haven't lived up to the light that he has given to you. And you hope to sing on that day? Not because you practice in the shower. That doesn't make you a good singer on that day. Singing is based upon the fact that you have dedicated your life to prepare to meet Jesus, and this anticipation turning into trust and commitment to do whatever it takes to be ready when he returns. Whether I live or die, I'm going to be ready for Jesus to come. And if I die, friends, I'm going to wake up with a voice that has the power and ability to sing in glorious tones to the Lamb who sits on the throne. And I'm going to say, hallelujah, amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, John tells us anyone who hopes for the second coming of Jesus, anyone who has this hope, purifies himself as he is pure. We sing on that day because by God's grace, we've been living a pure life. She took the counsel. The church took the counsel of Paul, who reminded her in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, after telling her Christ gave himself for the church, Paul tells the church now, meaning you and I, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. She sings because she's dedicated her life in obedience to the word of God. That's what gives her the power to sing. Because this book has changed her life. And the church sings. The church can sing, friends, when the church stands on nothing else but the word of God. Let the church sing when she stands on God's word. Then, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing by the word, that he might present her, notice the next word, present her to himself, a glorious, what kind of church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. She sings because she's clean. She sings because she has been cleansed. And this work of cleansing is something that God himself does. Oh, if we are willing to be cleansed, there is a cleansing stream, friends. If we're willing to be cleansed, Jesus will cleanse us. And when you are clean, you can sing. Those who endeavor to meet Christ must live pure lives. As we follow the commands of Scripture, the attitudes and the sins that so easily beset us will be washed away. Christ has given us the word in order for us to live pure lives, and by this very word, he intends to make us spotless. But this purity is not based on self. Not I, but Christ has done the work in me. He has been faithful to see the work through all the way until the end. The second reason why she sings is because she is ready. She sings because she is pure, but she also sings because she's ready. Jesus says in Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So if you think that you're going to get ready when Jesus is already on his way, when the clouds have burst, when the sky is open, you're too late. You're not going to be able to sing. In fact, what you're going to do instead is shout to the rocks, fall on us. Friends, that ought not to be our experience. Not in this church. We ought to be in that big choir singing. We need to be there to say, amen, hallelujah, not rocks fall on us. Come on now. I want you to be ready. That's what I'm stressing. We need to be ready for Jesus to come. And if we allow him, he'll make us ready. The Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 8, she sings lastly because she had received a great gift. One of the greatest gifts that could be given to a sinner. Like the prodigal son who finally came home and his father put a robe on him. The Bible tells Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. She sings because she is well dressed for the occasion. Clean. And what's the next word, everyone? Bright. Now she is glorified. The church may have been abased. The church may seem to have been destroyed. But friends, there's a day that's coming when the church will be glorified, honored above all. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. She sings. I'm going to add one more point. She sings because she has made the righteousness of Christ her own. Isn't it great that God would give us his righteousness and then call it ours? Can you imagine that? The righteous acts of the saints. What? Who among you is righteous? Who among us is righteous? Praise God that Jesus saw fit to give us what we lacked and what we desperately need. She sings. John had seen them earlier in Revelation chapter 7. And verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these? After John had seen these people dressed in white. John was pondering, wondering, what is going on here? Someone in heaven had realized, came to John and asked him the question, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And John said, I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me in response, These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. For some reason, this bird has gone through some dark nights. But when she comes out into the bright sunny day, friends, she has a voice that cannot be matched by any other. She sings beautifully because she has had an experience with God through the darkness. She trusts her life to God, and now she sings. She cannot help but to give honor and glory to God, because when heaven invites her to sing, she cannot do anything other than sing. Great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white. In what? In the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, slowing down now so you can hear what this text says, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. She sings because finally she's reunited with her God, the one she loves and the one she knows loves her. They shall neither hunger, friends. You may be hungry today, but there's a day when hunger will be a thing of the past. She shall neither hunger anymore or thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Oh, friends, it may be a hot day today in Michigan, and this week was indeed a hot week. But I'm singing amen and hallelujah because I'm looking for another day when the temperature will be temperate. Oh, friends, oh, I tell you. For the Lamb, he goes on, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to what? Living fountains of waters. John's mind is taken back to Psalm 23. Fountains of living waters. And God, oh, friends, you can't help to sing when the hand of God is placed on your face to wipe away every tear. Oh, friends, you don't need, what do you call those things? Tissues, Kleenex, the brand. You don't need Kleenex. There's no Kleenex in heaven. God's hand is enough. Wipes away the tears. You can't help but to sing. Friend, can you imagine what that would be like? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, let it be found to praise and honor and glory at the coming of Jesus Christ. Let it be said of us that when our Lord returns, that we can sing without hesitation. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Lord God reigns. Friends, do you want to be ready for Jesus when he comes? Do you want to be ready? Friends, I'm really being serious here. I don't want you to miss out on the greatest experience ever. Here at U Church, we struggle to put together a choir. But friends, you don't want to miss that choir rehearsal. You don't want to miss that song. You see what I'm saying? By the way, I would love a choir here at U Church. You know? Amen? Right? But friends, I really want you to be there to sing hallelujah in response to heaven's invitation. If that's your desire, I want to seal that desire with prayer. Please stand with me here as we close. And let it be said of us this week, whenever you feel discouraged, even if it may sound weird, just shout in that back room, amen, hallelujah. Someone, I guarantee, is going to ask you, why are you saying those strange words in this place? But friends, you know why you say those words. Let us start singing now, because God reigns. He's still on the throne. He hasn't vacated the premises. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are just so grateful that heaven sings and that we, being ready for your coming, can sing too. We, being purified, washed by you, who despite all that we have done and all that we are, still remain dedicated to us ensuring that we can be there on that day to sing those words, amen, hallelujah. Father, we may be going through some things right now. Many of our hearts may be heavy, but Lord, we pray that you may help us to see that there's a better day coming. And that we may all be standing on that sea of glass, singing the song of Moses, the song of deliverance, and praising your name. Help us, Lord, tune our voices, make us more like Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. 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 God bless you.
You have been listening to Jermaine Gale, pastor of the East Lansing University and Lansing Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the East Lansing University Church at 504 Ann Street in East Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:20 a.m. Or visit the Lansing Spanish Church located at 111 North Magnolia Avenue in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:30 a.m. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.